Do you show up at gatherings looking to serve? As some of you read this question, you feel burdened, like a weight was just placed on you. You already live a busy life, and you want the church gathering to be a place of rest where you can be fed. If you think that sitting back and letting the church feed you will bring you the most fulfillment, you are so wrong. God promised that those who give will be the most blessed. Takers are the most miserable people on earth. It is our inability to take our eyes off ourselves and put them onto others that destroys us. And we're thinking about that last week. It's not thinking less of yourself, it's just thinking about yourself a bit less. This is what Jesus saves us from. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. The most humble people and typically the happiest are typically the happiest. Imagine gathering with a group of people who were trying to outserve one another. Have you ever been in a room filled with humble people who count others more significant than themselves? It is anything but burdensome. When servants gather together, everyone is built up. No one hates consumerism more than God, because the mentality keeps that church from having the vibrancy he intended. Don't give up on the dream. The church doesn't have to remain a group of needy people complaining that they haven't been fed well enough. It really can become a group of servants who thrive in serving. I think actually in this church there is a lot of serving, and I think everyone is like that. So I don't mean this as a rebuke, but an encouragement to keep on and to do more. When you read about the church in Acts, remember what it says in Acts? How different church can become to what is in Acts, and how God intended it to be. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, they were devoted to the teaching, God's word, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Are we devoted to all those things? If we are, then you see these miraculous signs and things going on. But it's so easy. Although we're free, we don't have to turn up to things. We're free. God's given us freedom. But what did that verse say? Don't indulge your sinful desires. Sinful desires is just thinking, I can't be bothered, really, isn't it? What a difference it makes to a church when we conduct ourselves in the way God wanted us to. But it's a bit inconvenient, isn't it, sometimes, to be a Christian? You know, you've got other things you need to do, and it's a bit of a pain having to maybe come to two services, or, you know, there's so many things that get in the way of being a Christian, isn't there? But what do we put first? What are we going to put first? Are we happy to keep attending church, coming along, feeling good, being built up, but not let it affect our daily lives and not be that committed? That's not what God has called us to. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as speaking the very words of God. Again, that's challenging, isn't it? When you speak, you should be speaking the very words of God. Am I like that? Do people think that about me? Do they think it about you? When you give advice, is it like speaking the very words of God? I don't have to say this is God speaking. People should be able to tell whether I'm speaking God's word or not. If you don't think you can serve because you don't have a gift, we all do have gifts. We all can do it. You know, you can think, I don't know enough. I haven't been a Christian long enough. I'm too young, I'm too old, whatever it may be. You can serve Jesus by just being here and just doing what you can in the family of God. I saw someone the other day and there was a dirty tissue on the floor and they went over and picked it up to get rid of it. And that is serving God. And that shows an attitude of washing people's feet, doesn't it? That's the same attitude that they'll go over and pick up someone's dirty tissue. That is humility. If you think you don't know enough to speak, as I was saying, just say what you do know. That is enough. If you're asked awkward questions, I don't know the answer to that. Just speak what you can. There was a guy who used to come here called Jeff Carr. I don't know if you ever remember him. He was an excellent chap, really good speaker. He wasn't perfect. And he was, when he became a Christian, I think it was a teenager, the next Sunday he was speaking on a platform, giving his testimony. How much could he know? But then he went to be one of the evangelists in this area, along with Andy Jelfs. If you wait till you're perfect, or you think you know enough, you'll never do anything. You just got to see what needs doing and do it. I remember Jeff Carr. He came to stay with Ken and Gwen Tatnell. They lived in Queen's Road. And they stayed there for a week. They had a free holiday because they were in full-time Christian work. And Gwen cooked them food every day and it was all free. And Jeff wanted to thank them, so he wanted to send them this verse, which is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. He says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. Unfortunately, he sent Hebrews 10, 6, which says, with burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased. God uses imperfect people, just as we are. We're all imperfect, aren't we? And I've been reading the Old Testament this year. Last year was New Testament, this year is the Old Testament. And it's full of God using people who you think, my goodness, how did God use them? Why did he use them? Imperfect people. I was reading about Samson. Did God know what he was going to be like? Well, he did, didn't he? God knew what he was going to be like. He knows what we're going to be like. Judges 13:5 says to his mother, you will conceive and give birth to a son. No razor may be used on his head because the boy is to be a Nazarite, set apart to God from birth, and he will begin the deliverance of Israel from the hands of the Philistines. God was going to use Samson to deliver Israel from the Philistines. In verse 24 it says, he grew up and the Lord blessed him. Chapter 14, verse 2, it says, he saw a Philistine woman and he said to his parents, get her for me as my wife. No, please. Get her for me as my wife. And God has said, do not marry the Philistines. And this was God's man, that he was going to use. Of course, the marriage was a disaster. Chapter 16, verse 1. One day Samson went to Gaza, the Philistine port, where he saw a prostitute. He went in and spent the night with her. This is supposed to be a man that God was going to use. Chapter 16, verse 4, it says, he fell in love with Delilah, a Philistine, which, as you know, was his final downfall. God chose Samson. He did some good, and God used him, but he was flawed. And God wants to use us for the building up of his church, the people. And I was thinking, we are all different, we all have flaws, but we shouldn't condemn one another, should we? None of us are perfect, none of us will be perfect. But God knows what we like, and God chooses to use us. We all make mistakes. On Father's Day, it's a day when I reflect about the mistakes I've made as a father. Don't know whether you do that. If you've had children or you've got children, do you think about the mistakes you made? Don't know whether you saw Blue Peter this week on Thursday. Blue Peter is absolute rubbish nowadays. But David's son was on it. And so the last 10 minutes was good. He was teaching one of the presenters to do kiteboarding. And David's been, that's the third time he's been on television. He showed Matt Baker how to do kite flying or boarding on the thing that's on Sunday, that programme, forget what it's called now, Country File. And he was on another one. And I was just thinking, when David was about 11 and I'd bought him some kites, then he wanted to spend all his money on kites. And I remember saying to him, Dave, don't waste all your money on kites. It's a good job he didn't listen to me. But, you know, you can think you're doing the right thing, can't you? You know, you can be convinced that you're giving someone good advice or doing the right thing, and you can be doing the exact opposite. Don't condemn someone because they're not like you, you know. Some people like putting their hands in the air. I don't. I think it's great they do, and I think it's great they think that I don't. Do they think that? I don't know. Most probably not. But we're all different, and we're all comfortable doing different things. And we all can do different things. So don't condemn each other if someone can't do what you do. If you do, you can find yourself fighting against God, can't you? Remember Saul in the early church? He was convinced he was doing the right thing for God. And he found him, and he was going around persecuting the Christians. And he was fighting against God. And you have to be careful, you know, that we don't get so convinced in our own mind we're right that we end up fighting against God. So we have to be careful how we treat each other. And the thing is, God can even use ungodly people, totally ungodly people, for his purpose. Just want to read something in Jeremiah. If I can find it. Jeremiah 25. It says this, therefore the Lord Almighty says, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, I will summon my servant, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against the land and its inhabitants. He calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant. And yet Nebuchadnezzar, it says, in Unlocking the Bible, David Paulson writes, Nebuchadnezzar was a proud, cruel tyrant who took delight in torturing his victims. He was the Hitler of the ancient world. And yet God chose to use him. Isaiah 45 verse 1, it says this. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I will take hold of and subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their armour, to open doors before him so the gates will not be shut. Do you know what anointed means? Messiah comes from the Hebrew word. From the Hebrew word of anointed. Cyrus, a foreign emperor, is called his anointed. And previous chapter is called my shepherd. Because God anointed him to carry out a divine commission despite what he was like. Do you know who has been likened to Cyrus, King Cyrus? I'm going to read you something. Don't throw anything. Keep calm. The Bible teaches there are non-Christians who are anointed by God to rule in times of political and social unrest. I believe Donald Trump is one of those people. I'm just reading you a few bits out of this. The choice was between Donald Trump and a woman who wanted to continue the genocide of the unborn, who wanted to suppress Christian and other alternative speech, and who wanted to continue the disastrous foreign policy of Barack Obama putting God's chosen nation of Israel at risk. It may be easy to focus on sound bites, but isn't it more important to seriously consider what he is actually achieving while in office, because we can get whipped, mixed up in the hysteria, can't we? If we get sound bites and we only hear bad things. But unemployment is the lowest it has been for 44 years, and consumer confidence is a 17-year high. President Trump has enabled talks between North and South Korea. He has shredded the Iranian deal. That would have put millions of Israelis at risk. Okay, I'm not writing this. This is someone else. Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, said this when he met Donald Trump. I want to tell you that the Jewish people have a long memory. So we remember the proclamation of King Cyrus, which was just read about. The Persian king 2,500 years ago, he proclaimed that the Jewish exiles in Babylon could come back and rebuild our temple in Jerusalem. We remember 100 years ago, Lord Balfour, who issued the Balfour Proclamation that recognised the rights of the Jewish people in ancestral homeland. We remember 70 years ago, President Harry S. Truman was the first leader to recognise the Jewish state. And we remember how a few weeks ago, this is now a few months ago, President Donald J. Trump recognised Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Mr. President, this will be remembered by our people through the ages. Now, whatever you think about that, in Daniel, it talks about Jerusalem being Israel's capital just before Jesus returns. God can use horrendous people. Not saying he is a hindrance to people, but God can use anyone to bring about his purposes, what he wants. If God can use Donald Trump, he can use you. And he can use me. While I was preparing this yesterday, I got a message from Max Lucado. Not purse. And it says this, and I read this, I'll finish. Happiness happens when we give it away. Be the family member who offers to wash the dishes after dinner. Be the colleague who serves the staff by arriving on time for each meeting and who listens attentively. Be the church member who supports the pastor with prayer and notes of encouragement. Be the neighbour who mows the grass of the elderly couple. Can you imagine the joy giving benefits of these decisions? Contrast the situation of Mo and Joe. Mo expects everyone to serve him. The moment he awakes, he thinks, is someone going to bring me a coffee? He leaves the house thinking, the traffic better be good. If the service in the supermarket store and the attendant is slow, Mo is mad. If the parking lot attendant forgets Mo's name, Mo grumbles. If the employees at work need more time than Mo wants to give them, Mo lets them know. Mo has high expectations of the world. He expects to be served. He expects people to cater to his plans, meet his needs, and reward him. Constantly, Mo is seldom happy. The service is too slow, the commute takes too long, and the employees don't remember his name quickly enough. Joe, on the other hand, measures the success of his day with this standard. Who can I help today? Since there are always people who need help, Joe is insanely successful. He serves his wife her morning cup of coffee. I do that. He serves the convenience store clerk with a smile. He serves the parking lot attendant with encouragement. He keeps a positive attitude at work. Bad weather, snarled up traffic, no problem. The world doesn't exist to take care of him. He exists to take care of others. Circumstances do not affect him. Joe goes to bed with a smile on his face. Mo is unhappy and makes people frown. Joe is happy and makes people smile. Which one are you?